Hello, my little dragon. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Your horse?
Wow. Really thought that was going in a different direction, and I thought, it's off-brand.
At the last second, an S came in. We're referring to our Chinese animals, which we found out quite recently.
Don't even tell them. If they're not listening to previous eps, they deserve to be out in the cold.
Just there going, a dragon? A horse? Am I listening to the right podcast?
I have just won, and news just in, I've just won a Norwegian spinning wheel on eBay, okay? And I was sort of hoping that my bid wouldn't go through. I bought it on a whim.
What is a Norwegian spinning wheel?
Well, we don't know, but I've got to go to, well, I've got to go to Surrey to pick it up.
Okay. Mm. I still haven't answered what it is.
Yes.
I fundamentally on no level understand what a Norwegian spinning wheel is.
Well, it's a wooden wheel.
Right.
And I don't know what it's used for, but I was going to use it for show business. And no doubt the wheel's going to go back on eBay. Actually,
what do you want to use the wheel for? I don't understand.
Well, like
just spinning.
Destiny wheel or something. I don't know.
In Taskmaster, they often say that Alex will find props before he knows what he's going to do with them. Do you do the same thing?
That's a nice way of bringing it back round. And yes, I do. When I write my shows, I sometimes buy props before I've written the show, but I think it's a distraction technique. But can I tell you one other thing?
Sure.
I got a cat hair brush that is so good. And it's not like that tape which you waste and then throw away and it's bad for the environment. It's a metal brush. It's like $5.99 on a hideous website that rhymes with Pamazon. But it's unbelievable. If I do the sofa every day, I'm getting a handful of hair. It's disgusting. But
that's disgusting.
But you say it's disgusting, but I'm going to make a coat of my kitten's hair.
And that's more disgusting, Lou.
Thank you. Anyway, on we go. So what have you got for us this week?
Well, speaking of hair, this week on my stats section, I am looking at the hairiest contestants, as in facial hair, whether or not having facial hair is useful when it comes to Taskmaster.
This is, and I hate to be gendered, I hate to be sexist.
I know.
Imagining it's mainly the guys on this one.
We're going to get into that. Don't you worry. We're going to talk about the guys. The only female person to have a beard on the show is, of course, Lisa Tarbuck. So we can go into that later as well. But before that, we should talk about who our guest is going to be. We're back on the other side of the world this week with the director of Taskmaster New Zealand and the director of Taskmaster Australia. It's the same guy, Tom Furness.
He's hot like a furnace and he's ready to talk. Yes. So will you tell me about this facial hair then or what?
Okay, let's go into it. Facial hair. We have a furry good email from Eli this week.
Lovely stuff, Jack.
Thank you.
You've not taken a day off.
Eli says, "Dear Jack, watching old episodes, oddly on Series 8, where there are no real significant beards, I did some thought and I've realised that no one with a beard has ever won Taskmaster. Mm. In fact, the contestants who have had beards, thinking of Joe Wilkinson, Paul Chowdhury, Nish Kumar, Asim Chowdhury, David Baddiel, John Kearns, have all done very poorly." Harsh.
Harsh.
"I'm curious to see the task stats of the contestants with beards versus those whom don't have them. Honestly, the best bearded cast member was Lisa Tarbuck, and those bearded fellows on Taskmaster better get to the barber and figure out their life goals. Always a big fan of Taskmaster, Eli Rosenblith, Brooklyn, New York."
Wow, that's... Oh, I thought that was his whole name.
That would be
Brooklyn's
a great name. Eli Rosenblith, Brooklyn, New York. So that's a good question, right?
Great question.
I mean, you're obviously right. There's a lot of gendering going on here as well. But let's go into the strict facts. Is it best to be clean-shaven going into Taskmaster? I've gone through all the contestants, marked down as the ones which had any kind of fluff on their faces. And these are the stats. Do you think having facial hair or no facial hair is better, Lou?
Well, by the sounds of his email, not better.
You're absolutely right, Lou. It's not
better. It was a leading question.
But yeah. Facial hair, you get 2.94 points per task. No facial hair, 3.0 points per task. But we have to consider other factors because obviously, as Eli says, and as you said, there have been no female contestants with facial hair apart from Lisa Tarbuck, and that was on Champion of Champions. So how much this really comes down to men versus women? Well, I can tell you, if you split the Taskmaster contestants into men versus women, men score 2.97 points per task, and women score 2.98 points per task. So there's no real difference between them.
A little bit higher
for women. But if you do it for men alone, this is the interesting bit. For men alone, so you take women out entirely.
Yeah.
Men with facial hair, 2.94 points per task. Men with no facial hair, 3.03 points per task.
That's higher, Jack. That's a lot higher.
It's a lot higher, Lou. It's nearly 0.1 point higher. That's huge. That's a real difference.
You're hearing it all on the Taskmaster the People's podcast, and you're hearing it now.
Well,
so
I mean,
just cut in and tell them all that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think sometimes people need to be reminded that they're listening to Taskmaster People's podcast, especially when I'm talking about beards for so long.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's right. There have been lots of very good non-bearded winners in the show. You've got your Josh Widdicombe, male winners. Josh Widdicombe, Rob Beckett, he didn't have a beard. Noel Fielding had a bit of stubble. I checked, but I'm not counting it as a beard. Bob Mortimer had a bit of stubble again. I don't think I counted that. I think the only person with significant facial hair to win Taskmaster, and I'm willing for people to now come up on the show and tell me that I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure the only person with significant facial hair was Richard Herring with a moustache.
And he did okay.
He won. He won Taskmaster. He won Champion of Champions. So
I know where I was there.
I know you were, Lou. I have to remind you.
I very much know that he bloody won.
It is interesting because Eli sort of referenced the fact that beards are bad. But let's not stop there, Lou. We got to go further. We got to go further and split it even further.
Leave no stone unturned.
Leave no beard unshaved. Because what do we mean by facial hair? What about beard thickness? Because I've separated into three groups. You've got stubble and / stubble beard, full beard, and moustache. What do you think the best is of those three?
Well, Mike Wozniak had a moustache, Richard Herring had a moustache, they'll cancel each other out. And I think stubble. I've got no idea.
Okay, so stubble does very well. Stubble does better than men with no facial hair. So if you have stubble on the show or a stubbly beard, you get 3.04 points per task. Versus
5 points in my book. I like
let me tell you, a little bit of stubble. Yeah. Lou is currently rubbing her knees. But moustache, Lou, it's even higher. Mike Wozniak, it actually did fairly well. And I've included, there's one other person who had a moustache on Taskmaster. And I think you can get it.
Oh, come on, I know her. I've got no idea.
Lou, you're going to kick yourself. He was in your series.
Ian Sterling. Yeah, I was going to say Ian Sterling.
Ian Sterling.
That's what I was going to say. And no. Then I thought he didn't have enough of a moustache.
But he does. If you look at check the tape, look at the footage. It's a proper moustache.
Really?
It's a chunky, thick moustache. Because I was like, because I think in the studio he doesn't have it. And that's what's confusing.
What I'm thinking of him in the studio.
In the studio he doesn't have it. And I was going based entirely on the house. In the house, he's got a big bushy moustache. But if you have a moustache, you get 3.07 points per task. But obviously, there are only three people who have moustaches on the show. So hard to say, really. But stubble is second best with 3.04, but with a bigger sample of people who have stubble. So really, Eli saying if you have facial hair, you're not going to win. You will win if you have stubble or a moustache.
Okay.
If you have a beard, shave it off, but just leave the moustache. That's what I'd say.
Okay, great. Well, for any people in the next series, think about that.
What's your favourite beard on Taskmaster?
Oh, very good question. What's your favourite beard on Taskmaster?
Lisa Tarbuck aside, obviously. Oh, well, not obviously. I think that is the best beard on Taskmaster.
Yeah, it's the best beard on Taskmaster. You can't rule out the best beard.
So yeah, that one, but let's leave that because that's on a pedestal on its own. I can give you a list of bearded people who had good beards.
Please. Yeah,
Jamali Maddox had a good beard. Very good beard. Paul Chalji had a good beard. Nish had a good beard. Al Murray had quite a good beard in his series as well, actually.
Keep going.
Mawan Rizwan has a good beard.
Yeah.
David Baddiel has quite a recognizable beard. And I think there's therefore people are like, oh, that's a bearded person on Taskmaster. But there are some like other people who have different kinds of beards. Like, let's see. Mark Watson had a beard on Taskmaster.
It's Mark Watson or it's Mawan for me. I like the way that Mawan mixes the yin and the yang. He's got nail polish, and then a really good beard.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I'll agree with that. I'll go, it goes Lisa Tarbuck, Moan, and then, I don't know.
And then everyone else, fuck off.
Yeah, sure, okay. I will co-sign that. Everyone else with a beard on Taskmaster, fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off. We're busy.
Fuck off.
Look, Jack, we've got an email in, if you're familiar with that form.
Oh, I love a good email in.
Yes, it's Maria from Italy.
Brooklyn, New York, Italy.
Oh, we're doing the rounds. She loves the show Taskmaster, would you believe? And also the podcasts, both of good them. And I like that. Anyway, all over the media and science and academic world, everyone's talking about AI, artificial intelligence.
This took a turn.
Should we rely on it more? Should we be scared of it? Should we limit it? Oh, I've seen Megan at the cinema. Very good. Can we trust it? Can't trust Megan. Well, we wait for these huge doubts to be solved. I put ChatGPT to good use and asked this open AI to write some sonnets about Taskmaster. I leave you with a question. Can AI really be creative, and would it be a good Taskmaster contestant?
That's interesting. That's an interesting thing. Okay, I'm going to open it up.
I don't think robots can take over my job.
Well, let me read this sonnet to you and we'll find out.
Oh, it's about time you read me a sonnet, babe.
Taskmaster UK, the game that's full of wit, where comedians face strange tasks every day. With clever minds and humor, they'll submit to Greg's commands. In humor, they'll play.
No, they can't.
They'll make sculptures with marshmallows and such, or dance with household items, odd and new. But through the madness, laughter is a must as they compete for the winner's due.
I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad.
I mean, has anyone ever danced with household items on the show?
Must have done.
I don't know. This is a good question for our listeners. Where has AI got that?
Well, thank you for that. And also, it's a heavy no from me.
Yeah, I gotta say, I appreciate the effort and the thought, but I was worried about the robot takeover of Taskmaster, but now I'm not, because I don't think they got much going on, to be honest.
No, they can do one. And I'll say that to my Alexa right now. Alexa, do one. Alexa, do one. I'm scared now.
I don't have an opinion on that.
Kelsey, please. This week, we've got the director of Taskmaster New Zealand Series 2 and 3 and Taskmaster Australia, which is out this week. We're ahead of the frigging curve again. What a busy old boiler. Hello, Tom.
Hello. How's it going?
Hi, Tom.
How are we?
Yeah, good. How are you? You wanted to use your lapel mic, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it looks... Look, this looks terrible. The background, the shitty lapel mic that doesn't work.
Tom came on with, like, headphones on, a lapel mic on. He looked so professional and cool. And we spent about 10 minutes trying to work how any of that would work, and it hasn't worked.
Well, yeah, no, but it's a lovely spirit to come in fighting. I think you compared yourself to Icarus flying too high to the sun.
Yeah, this is how I start all my chats. Hello, I'm quite a lot like Icarus. Nice to meet you.
It's lovely to meet you.
Likewise.
Thank you for finding the time as well, because you direct two series of Taskmaster. That's never been done before.
I don't know. Has it not been? Yeah, maybe not.
Two different nations of Taskmaster.
Not series one, series two. That's been done before.
Yeah, very similar nations, but different.
How dare you? There is a rich difference between the two cultures that Lou and I are experts in.
Well, good. Tell me, because I don't know it very well. But so I did the Aussie one as well recently.
Wow.
That was, we shot it in the same house.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah. I did not know that. Sorry, it's not in Australia?
No. So I don't, I don't think this is a scoop, because someone's figured it out already. But we, because it's the same production company, we're like, well, let's just use the same house and turn a few things around.
Yeah, right. Well,
so we flew all the Aussies over here.
Sure.
Great.
So, but is the studio stuff filmed in Australia?
Yes.
Okay, yep. That's
all
good.
All over there. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then that makes sense, them getting you in for both as well, because you know your way around the cupboards and stuff.
Like, yeah, because, the UK's been doing it for a long time now. New Zealand study, well, that would be our fifth season, or the fifth one we're doing now. But you learn a lot each time you do a season. That first season's so hard. So technically Australia didn't have to do a first season in terms of crew. Their talent did. It was a joy for me because I came in season two in New Zealand where Paul had already done one season. And so he knew the show better than me. But this time I knew the show better than the Australian TA, Tom. Yeah.
Three Toms.
Three Toms.
There was two other Toms in the crew.
Oh, jeepers. That's exhausting.
I spent the first day trying to cultivate myself a kick-ass nickname.
Icarus?
Yeah.
It should have been Icarus, but I think that would have been a bad sign for things to come. What was I can't even remember my nickname. It was, I tried to go for the dog father.
The dog father,
godfather, but I don't think that stuck. I think it was...
I think you'd remember if the dog father stuck. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. It didn't. Yeah. I don't think it stuck. They went with four eyes in the end. It was weird.
It was something like that. It was something very not complimentary at all. It's like when you try to give yourself a nickname, you're going to hide into none.
But you already have the name The Furnace. That's like The
Furnace.
Yeah,
it was something on Furnace. They went, it was like, it was Inferno.
Oh,
that's great.
That's kind of cool.
Much cooler than Four Eyes, and also much cooler than The Dog Father, I would say.
Yeah. I like The Dog Father, but I love dogs and I love The Godfather. The Aussie one, that's airing tonight.
So exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. I won't be able to watch it because I'm in a different geo location or whatever. So,
Of course.
They've sent it to you, right? To see.
Well, I was there. I mean, I was in the studio. I've seen it all.
Did you watch a lot of the UK stuff? No judgment if you didn't, because everyone's busy these days.
So I used to live in the UK.
What?
I don't think I had a TV. And then I came back. And this was in 2018. And I went and stayed with my sister. And she's like, there's a show you've got to watch. And I'm always like, because, I've always been involved with things like that. And everyone's always like, you got to watch TV. Got to watch this. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. But I was living with her because we didn't have anywhere to stay. So I had no option but to watch it. And she put the first episode, like season one UK on. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is actually really good. And I got all hooked for like 6 months and ended up having a birthday party as a Taskmaster theme. And my wife, then girlfriend, made like all these tasks for me and my friends to do. And so I was fully hooked. I was a huge fan. And then like a year later, 2 years later, someone asked me if I wanted to direct it. So I was like,
wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool. Like,
did you sort of think to yourself, I want to make it different to the UK one or like make a kind of conscious?
Nah. Not at all. I mean, the format's so good. It's different because we've got a different house and we've got different talent, but we are so just trying to honour the format that's there. But it's different too because we got different writers and we know the task different and all we're trying to do is write better tasks, which I think that would be the same thing in the UK season as there. We don't have the luxury of being able to use a UK task because the UK show is so popular here.
Yeah.
But I think it goes the other way. If a New Zealand task winds up on the UK show where everyone's like, oh, they took our task, but then we're also like, yeah, they took our task.
Yeah.
Do you not, I mean, sure, do you not sort of go to them and go like, hey, where the recompense? Alex Horn.
The recompense is them just letting us keep doing it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Are you involved like in the casting as well? Like, how does it sort of work with? Because I guess if you're very involved in the New Zealand, because we were talking to Sam Smith and he was saying that he knew like David Krayas really well and Laura Daniel and he'd gigged with them. Is that a similar thing with you? How does it work?
I mean, it's New Zealand. I know them all really well too. I have gigged with them too, but that will get asked for like suggestions, but. Honestly, it feels like every season the cast pick themselves because there's only like five like people we can think of. Like, oh, it has to be this person because like once we chew through that the person that was perfect for it in season two, then there's like the next people that are perfect for it in season three. It's not like we've got a tiny pool, but there's always like kind of the zeitgeist of who's hot in the comedy scene. It's like,
do you still do stand up now? Because your time will come around, someone else will have to direct it.
Yeah, I don't do it. I don't do stand up. That's been joked about. My agent sent me into the producers as a potential for season four, and the producer showed me in line. But I'd be so good at it.
Why don't you do it? So the problem is you'd be too good.
I know too much. It's a weird thing of like someone comes into Taskmaster that they're either smarter than the task or dumber than the task. Mm-hmm. Either way can be good, because if it's an easy task, someone can completely outthink themselves and go, there's got to be a clue, and then they screw it up.
Yeah.
And then if it's a hard task, someone could be like, I can't figure it out. And I would on every task be like, where's the clue? And like lifting up things and stuff. Yeah. And so I say I'd be good at it, but I'd just be overthinking everything. The biggest, if anyone is ever out there listening to how to do it, the biggest tip I give it to everyone and no one ever listens, is when you open the task, literally just take 20 to 30 seconds and stop. Slow your breath. Don't think about anything, just calm yourself down and then read the task again, and like you'll see it in a completely different light. Because what happens to everyone is their heart rate gets so high when they read a task, they don't think. And it's crazy. Everyone cannot slow themselves and think of things.
I have to do that every week on this podcast. Just calm down.
Yeah, I probably do too, yeah. Let's take a moment.
Mishear you, or do you come up with some of the tasks as well?
Yeah, I'm involved in the writing, but in a kind of sometimes I get to write a task myself and that's my task, but we never kind of say which ones are which. But usually it's Sam and Paul. Sam does a lot of it. We'll write a task and then it kind of comes to me and I'm like, hey, this doesn't work because we can't afford to get a hot air balloon in, or they just think that's so big level sometimes that it just, we need to make it feasible to work at the house or safe, for instance. So I have a weird kind of semi-involvement in the writing, but sometimes it'll just be sitting with Paul in a room and just spitballing and ironing out some tasks. There's a really cool task in season three where he has a video camera and it's zoomed all the way out.
I love that one.
And he's trying to find, and that one was his idea, but we just had to workshop it for so long and stay late and play it because we had to get the zoom distance right, otherwise it'd be too hard or too easy.
Yeah,
That's a really good point. Made so it's just play. It's more as a writer, I'm someone that can play with Paul and explore.
Everyone loves the New Zealand one because I don't know. Everyone loves it because it's really good, like around the world. I think maybe it is because everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think the reason the New Zealand one works so well, honestly, is Paul and Sam. Paul in particular, he's the most competitive game player guy. I play football with him and he's like, his brother Guy always has to like kind of douse him down because he gets too hot. He's so competitive in our social football game.
Guy Montgomery said this last week as well.
Yeah, it's mad to me. Yeah. It's so mad to me because
I can't imagine it.
Yeah, he's tricked us all with
I know. It's like a it's very Jekyll and Hyde, but that's what makes him so, like, he'll just, you know, that task with the video camera, like the producers are like, we don't really see it. Like, I don't think this is gonna work, and it just seems too complicated. But he's just so like, no, this is good, and he spent like days figuring it out and making the music, and he's just dogged. Like, when he's got something he wants, he'll do it. And that makes a TV show work. And then Sam as well is a really he just writes so many tasks. Like, we'll start a season and he's like, all right, here's the tasks I've written in the off season. There's 400 tasks. Which is great, but then it's also like, we need to find the good ones in there.
So is there like a difference between the tone or style of the Australian and New Zealand series?
There is. There's a big difference on the surface where they had a lot more money.
Right. That'll do it.
As you'll see, the house looks better. We had like more art department. But the biggest difference is between Tom Cashman, the host, I call him the host, but he's a Taskmaster assistant, and then Paul Williams. Their very similar, but there's a difference, and they're brilliant in their own way. Paul is like doggedly competitive, and then Tom is maybe a little more intellectual. That makes it sound bad to Paul, but a little bit more like thoughty, and that's where the difference lies. And I think the Taskmaster Assistant's comedy is probably the biggest influence on a series of Taskmaster. That's why Alex is the Taskmaster Assistant, not the Taskmaster.
Exactly.
It's like you kind of don't see that, but it's such an influence because they're the ones on set that can turn their body this way, and that will make the comedian think about going that way. Like they're kind of like this weird puppet master without being there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, in both seasons, in both Aussie and New Zealand, we play little games, like very little ones. Like
Wow. Fascinating.
Okay, I have to watch out now and
psychology, see. Psychology, guys. You've got a bit of a rap for being a bit cash with the health and safety in a cool way.
It's changed because of
the, someone died.
We had injuries, and but it's sometimes you can't do anything about it. Like David Correos, we'd just be filming like a two camera shoot in the kitchen, and he'd be like making a cup of tea, and then he's like, "Oh no, what are you doing?" And then suddenly he's up in the rafter.
Yeah.
Like above all of us. And I'm like, oh, like there's no time to interrupt and go, no, you can't do that. He's just up there, sitting up there, blowing a balloon up. I'm like, how did this happen? And
I guess you get the adrenaline and you sort of.
Adrenaline.
Yeah. And the camera's on and you, yeah. I mean, you know, take it from me. I started doing children's parkour. So I think I'd know.
Have you downgraded it to children's parkour since last week?
Well, it sort of is a that we do less than the children's group, really. So it is not actually children. It's me and a man called Dale at the moment. But the children's group is a lot busier. There's a man that turns up every single week after the class. So it starts at 10. Mm. He turns up at 11 every week and go, oh, I thought it was 10. And I can't help think his heart's not in it. But anyway, Taskmaster in New Zealand.
Was there anything that you loved shooting but didn't make the cut? We were talking to Guy and he was talking about the do the stupidest thing task where he put his penis in a toaster and said COVID-19 isn't real. Was that something you enjoyed shooting?
Honestly, that's when you first said that was the only thing I thought of. Yeah, the only other bit that I would like that I really miss that didn't probably... It did go to air, but David Correos doing a diss track rap in a team task in season 2 was the funniest, to this day, the funniest thing I've ever witnessed. He went to like you've probably seen it, like comedians go to like this higher place, and it's very rare. It's like they become a god, and he became like the comedy god for like an hour. He was so tired, and he kept eating all this cold spaghetti because of his name. And kept coming out and doing these diss track raps, these riffs. It never made the cut because you only ever air like the last, like when they do the performance, but he was riffing. And it was so brutal. He's like, I'm going to kill your kids. I'm going to drown them. Like the most
it's so
outrageous things he would say that would never make the cut.
Yeah.
But the whole crew, we were like dying. So I'd love to see those outtakes too.
Are there any tasks from the UK one? I know you said that you can't really steal them because everyone's seen that one, but are there any tasks that you would steal if you could?
Honestly, like we kind of find a task of the UK one and we will amend it. Like we take an element of it anyway. Mm-hmm. So we kind of are. There's one in season 1, I think, where they're in the squash court and they have to guess what, they have to do something as a team to make Alex kind of let them advance.
They're like, get to 10, and they don't know what they're actually getting to.
When they tap their head, I think.
Yeah.
So we've made a version of that in the Aussie one this year that I love it. It's the longest task we've ever filmed because we made it way too hard, and one person took over 2 hours to do it, and we had to interrupt and say, do you want to come back? It was on a Friday. Do you want to come back on Monday to finish the task? And she, like, broke. She was like, you guys must hate me.
But so
So, yeah, I don't think there are ones that we'd want to take because we've already taken them, if that answers the question. And I think that's where it's fun going back and forth. And that UK could do that too, like take a version of ours and change it, which they do. The microwave one, I haven't seen, but the controversy on set when we were shooting was they did the microwave one and they made it worse.
They just changed it. They just changed it a bit. It's fine.
It's not better or worse. It's just different. Okay. Yeah.
That was one of our favorite because, again, Correos. Yeah. That took hours because Correos was like, I'm not doing this. You're saying not to do it, and I'm the most trusting person there is. And we had to have our lunch in the in there while the cameras were rolling, and the crew just sat there. We all got chairs, and we just watched Correos talk about McDonald's. And
it's a living. It's a living. What else are you working on now outside of Taskmaster?
I've got a film that's shooting in 18 days, actually. Whoa. It's a film I wrote in university, believe it or not, and it's taken so long to get made. And it's getting made by the Taika Waititi's company, actually.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I love that. What's it called? What's it about?
It's about a group of kids that run away and climb a mountain, a magical mountain in New Zealand. I'm not directing it. I just wrote it, but it's been directed by a woman called Rachel House, who plays the cop in Hunt for the Wilder People. Have you seen that?
Hunt for the Wilder People is one of my favourite films ever.
This is Peaky Films' kind of hopefully next Hunt for the Wilder People.
Wow!
Congratulations!
Oh my God, that's so exciting. So series 4 of Taskmaster New Zealand is in production now. You're not working on it, but can you tell us anything about it?
I can tell you, I think, I don't 100% know the cast is confirmed, but I know it's got one of New Zealand's best, I think, all-time comedians on it that could have been in season 1. So,
wow.
They're on it. It's going to be fun.
This might be a rude question. I love the country New Zealand. Okay, I'll just put that out there first. But do you think at some point they might run out of comedians and either go to general celebrities or comedians from other countries? Because I'll pop in if you need.
I think you're actually onto a point. Like, we're a small country. And my hope is, so we've done 4 New Zealands now and 1 Aussie. I'd love to do a season of champions between the Aussies and the Kiwis.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea.
That would be, I think we're going to have to get a bit creative like that. I hope we do that before we start getting like someone who hosted a radio show 20 years ago.
I thought you were going to say, before we get too desperate and sort of have to fly you over. Tom, thanks so much for coming on. I can't wait to see the mountain.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully it works.
I mean, in a way, The Mountain is as good a nickname as Inferno.
It's pretty good, actually, and it also ties back to the Icarus thing as well. There's something there. I can't do it right now.
Well, thanks very much, Inferno.
Thanks, Inferno.
Thank you. Dogfather out.
Well, thanks so much, Tom Furness. Very interesting.
Very interesting. Dogfather. So much that I found out now about nicknames, predominantly nicknames, I would say. And
I'm excited
fire.
About his film.
His film sounds amazing, and
he's gonna be in a movie.
He's gonna be the next Taika Waititi. He's gonna be the next Rhys Darby. We'll be talking about Tom Furness in the future.
Okay, look, if you want to be on the show, email us at fans@taskmaster.tv.
Yes, and if you, as always, please send any messages and voice notes to our answering machine, 07810 025 570.
Oh, you made that sound very exciting, Jack.
And it's just a number, really.
Everything's just a number in a way. is it? No. And please, if you've got it in your little hearts, to rate and subscribe and have a nice life. Bye. Say bye.
Bye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.